Welcome to another episode of 100 at 100, research for our next century to celebrate the 100th birthday of UT El Paso. Today's guest is Professor Lorenzo Candelaria from the Department of Music. And Lorenzo, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me, Keith.
So tell us, what do you do over there as a professor of music?
Well, technically, my training is in what's called liturgical musicology. That's a very long, complicated phrase, but essentially I study the way people pray, particularly through music. So largely I study Gregorian chant. Uh-huh. I study the use of music in culture and in religious formation, especially in the 16th century, but my current research is trying to apply that to our time.
And is this singing and performance, or is it because clearly the liturgy is a combination of both.
Right.
Do you specialize in one versus the other, the voice versus the instrument? Or?
I look at both, really. Most of what I study is voice, largely because it has text. And I use that quite a bit to learn about the cultures that are singing that music.
What could you tell us about the 16th century, then, from what you know?
Well, I can tell you a little bit about my current book, which is Music in Early Mexican Catholicism. And I'm looking at the use of music as the Spaniards used it to bring Christianity to the Central Valley of Mexico in the first half of the 16th century.
And what tricks did they use, if I'm allowed to say that?
Well, the main thing that they did is that they studied indigenous culture very carefully, and then they crafted Christian devotion and norms, not into that culture, but they took advantage of the cultural norms of a society to teach them Christian doctrine.
And so, I mean, that also applies to a certain extent to the visual part of the Catholic
right.
Church, where you see totally different images
yeah.
in Europe, in Spain, than you would get over in the New World.
Oh, exactly. And it leads to a very rich tradition that we have even here in the Southwest, you know, all of the folk art that we enjoy along the Rio Grande corridor between El Paso all the way up to Santa Fe. I mean, we're heirs to this beautiful tradition, this introduction of European culture and its mixture with indigenous cultures of the various groups that they found as they made their way north.
Do you, as a person, do you sing? Do you play an instrument also?
I play an instrument.
Right.
I try to sing, and I enjoy singing. I like singing Gregorian chant. I'm not a very good choir singer, but I enjoy studying the music quite a bit. But I'm a violinist by training. That's what I did before I got into music history.
And so, I mean, is there a repertoire of 16th century music for the violin?
No. The repertoire that I like is the 18th and 19th century.
In fact, when did the violin get constructed? I mean, that's ignorance on my part.
You know, the violin's been around for quite some time. The violin as we know it now, in the 17th century, 18th century.
So what was in the 16th? Was there anything in the 16th
century?
Yeah,
in the 16th century, they had stringed instruments. They've had stringed instruments for quite some time. But they were different, and they sounded different from what we're used to now. When we're talking about the instruments that we go see in a symphony orchestra, I mean, this is 18th century instruments mostly. We're still playing 18th century tradition in the concert halls today.
And it suits the concert hall very well.
Yes,
and
it does.
Long may it live.
It does.
I've been talking with Lorenzo Candelaria, professor of music at the University of Texas at El Paso, as part of the 100 at 100 series to celebrate the 100th birthday of UT El Paso. And my name is Keith Pannell.